Hello, this is Greg Schultz from Storage.io. I have with me today Bruce Raven. What's happening, Bruce?
Hey, Greg.
You know, we've done several podcasts recently, and we figure, what the heck? It's a Friday. We're having a little fun, relaxing. Maybe like some of the people out there, you're listening to the podcast, maybe reading a blog post, got some tunes going. Hey, Bruce, I actually had to turn Alt Nation down in the background. I didn't want any extra noise.
Yeah, I had to turn off the music I had going in the background, too. I always work with music in the background. It's inspiring. It helps keep the energy level up.
It does. You know, again, whether, and we talked about this in some of the podcasts, you know, whether it's classical or, you know, classic rock, indie, whatever it happens to be. But yeah, I find myself, even at different times of the day, you know, I might have the classic rock station on doing some things and I'm switched over to Alt Nation or XMU, whatever it happens to be. But yeah, there's just something about it to help drive, to help work through what's going on.
Very much so. And it should be known too that you and I bonded over music. Now, I originally called you years ago for a director of technical marketing opportunity. I think when we were talking at SNW, was it Macstore?
Yeah, it was. It would have been a position at Macstore, exactly.
A position at Macstore. We immediately started hitting it off talking about music. And we continue to do that to this day.
And you know, it's one of those recurring themes as we're at different events, different shows. Hey, Bruce, you know, speaking of the series, we got a bunch of them up. We're out on iTunes now. I've got them on my blog post. They're out there. They're getting traction. They're being listened to. But one of the things I want to mention is, again, they can be heard at Storage.io blog. .com, but also out on iTunes, just search under Storage.io. Hey, Bruce, I want to chat about SNW. You know, we did several of the podcasts there. And for you, this was a different kind of an SNW in that it was your first SNW back after having been away for a while, but you had also had quite the record. What was your impression? What was your take of SNW?
It was great to be back for one thing. It was great to see old friends. You and I have stayed in touch, but I took a break where I was off pursuing some other things. So to come back this year, after probably not having been to an SNW since 2008, it was an eye-opener. I would say it was great to be back. It was obviously much different. It is scaled down. Things that I remembered from other SNWs were no longer in existence. But having said that, I think what has remained consistent with SNW is the quality. It may not be the size that it used to be, but the people that are there are so of quality. Now, I talk mostly to the vendors and to the consultants and analysts who are there and to the SNEA people, the computer world people. But the word among the vendors in attendance was that the end users were also of quality. So I think it's still a good event.
Bruce, you know, one of the things that we've talked about in these series is, you know, there's this myth, this notion is that the industry, i.e. IT, whether it be the storage, the IT, the networking, whatever it happens to be, that it's a small and everybody knows everybody. But yet what's interesting is how many times we kept running into this theme of, oh, that's who you are. Oh, I recognize you. Or, oh, we've never met. But like yourself, you had been to over a decade of SNWs, and there were people that were still meeting each other besides yourself for the first time.
Exactly. And you know, there are those, as we talked about a couple of times on the podcasts, you know, Dave Chapa and I, we recognized each other right away. But it was, we had never had the opportunity to be introduced before. And that's what was fun for me, too, was not only to attend SNW, as I always have in my Raven & Associates executive search role, but also to attend it as a media guy helping you with your podcast series.
And, you know, one of the fun things about this whole series, again, it's about networking, not just the protocols, iSCSI, Fiber Channel, FCOE, you know, the buzzword bingos, but it's that other aspect of network. In other words, connecting, meeting people. You know, there's people like yourselves, Bruce, that, you know, we both meet via whether it be Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever it happens to be, that oftentimes at these events is where you actually meet for that first time, you know, you put a name to a face or something like that.
I think that's still huge. And I'd like to give a quick shout out to the people that have been organizing, that have run SNW over the years, Leo Ledger, also Mike Molitti, who is now wearing a full-time SNEA hat, as is Leo. They know what I do for a living. They know that. And they've been very open about it. Leo has actually said to me in these almost these exact words, Bruce, we're fine with you being here, and we appreciate the fact that you're discreet about what you do. If I were one of these guys grabbing a business card from everybody in the expo, I'd be out of there. I'd be 86th. And they've been incredibly gracious. I attended the first 10 SNWs, and at number 10, they brought me up on stage, and I had no idea. There was an improv band group going on. I thought I was going to be their foil, the guinea pig, right in the middle, being made an ass out of. But they actually gave me an engraved bowl commemorating 10
I remember that.
SNWs in a row.
I remember that. And you know, that if, as myself, you know, some see me as an analyst, some as a consultant, advisor, media, whatever it happens to be. But, you know, that's part of it is there's enough you know, people pitching each other. But, hey, let's just clarify there is that what is it that you do when you're not doing your music show?
I'm an executive recruiter, correct. I've been involved in the storage industry for a long, long time, several decades. My specialty has been in marketing. Anybody from senior individual contributors up to executives, and that could be inbound, outbound, business development. I've done a lot of work in the sales world. Again, senior individuals up to executives, and in the sales world, it's tended to be OEM and channel. Not as much at this point on the enterprise side, although at the moment, that seems to be where a lot of the opportunities are.
You know, Bruce, there's something common to what you're doing and I doing. In other words, there's the what people see, people hear, people read, what I call the public side of the business. But then the other half of what I do is all NDA. It's all confidentiality. It's that trust that you build up. And given what you're doing, there's part of what the people see. But then there's that also that trust aspect.
There has to be. I like to tell people that I keep secrets for a living.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, people are talking about their career paths. They're talking about where they want to go. And it's a very, it's a thing I have to be very careful with. I will a lot of times, I'll use you as an example. Somebody that might be a good friend of mine will ask me, what's Greg Schultz up to? Is he happy? And the problem is if I happen to know that you're not, I can't be talking about that.
Correct.
Right? They may be totally innocent in asking me the question, but I can't go there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's what I know and there's what I don't know. And, you know, we were joking about this. Let's bring the music back in for a minute, Bruce. There's the known and there's the unknown. And in between, there are the doors.
Yeah, yes.
You know, it's a classic saying. But, you know, again, very, very important in that I was on Twitter with somebody today, and there's what I can talk about and there's what I can't talk about. There's what I know. And, you know, I think one of my relatives, Sergeant Schultz, said it best. I know nothing when in fact you do. But again, that's part of that trust, that confidence. Bruce, you know, speaking of which, you know, I get pinged by people. They're saying, hey, I'm looking to do this, or I need this type of person, or young people, they're saying, you know, I'm doing all these things. And I'll ask them something basic like, well, have you followed up with an actual letter? Have you sent a card? Have you camped out in the lobby? You know, things that we might take for granted. Like last week, you were at SNW, and if you're like me, you got a bunch of business cards, sending out an email afterwards saying, hey, thanks for the quick conversation. Nice meeting to you. You got any tips to help, whether it's the young up-and-comers or even those that have been around that know everything that kind of forget what they know?
Well, I think a lot of it is obvious, but maybe when somebody is actually in that process themselves, they aren't thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you would think that the chase note would be sent 100% of the time. And it might be that in some situations, an actual handwritten card might help. I think somebody has to make that determination. But in a world where it's harder and harder to stand out, people who are seeking opportunities have to find ways to stand out. I used to sign bands to Capitol Records, and I wouldn't take appointments with people who would just walk in the door. But if I found out that somebody had just showed up in the Capitol Records lobby dressed as a carrot,
yeah,
send them up.
Oh, there you go.
I want to talk to this person. I want to talk to the carrot, right? So in other words, there are things that people can do so that they're just, especially in this era when it comes to recruitment, it's, as we all know, it's LinkedIn, it's scanners that look over resumes before humans even check them out.
Sure.
There are all these things that people have to try to get around.
But is there a balance between standing out too much and blending in?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it depends on the position. I think if somebody is in Marcom, for example, or PR, they can do things that somebody who's after an engineering position probably shouldn't be doing.
Right, right. In fact, I was talking to somebody, and young up-and-coming kid, and he made the comment, he goes, you know, I put a sport coat on and went on the interview, and they acted differently to me. What a concept.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the things that are very obvious that most of us probably just can rail off the top of our heads till we get into it. But whether it's a chase note, keeping the energy level up in an interview, being very honest in answers, but not dwelling on the negative too much. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, especially younger people or older disenchanted people,
will
talk themselves out of contention by dwelling too much on maybe personality issues they had at the last company, whatever it was. You know, it's like, talk about it honestly, but move on. You know, keep it positive.
That's a good point, Bruce, is that, I mean, we've got literally people that we engage with, whether it's, you know, direct person-to-person, email, different generations, different focus areas. You know, we've talked about the younger crowd. What about the older crowd, you know, the 45, 50-plus crowds? Any tips you can give them?
I get asked that question a lot, usually by people who know me pretty well, and they're maybe more open about their concerns because, listen, we don't want to admit it, but ageism exists. I do not practice it, but I have companies that I know practice it. And What I tell people is that there are three things that they can do. And one of them is, again, keeping the energy level up. You always got to be crisp. Number two is be very current and flexible in terms of new technologies, new ways of doing things. That is really, really important. And number three is appearance. Now people age. That cannot be avoided. But somehow I see people that I've known over the years, even some people, frankly, that I hadn't seen for a few years that I've seen at some of these conferences over the last couple of months. They don't seem to look as crisp, whether they put on a lot of weight, maybe their clothes are not quite fitting the way they did. I mean, those things are important. So while we can't avoid our age, what we can try to work on is just being, and I use that word crisp a lot. I've been accused of using it too often. Crispness is crucial. And I think that the other thing, of course, is that if somebody is currently active in doing it in another company, then age doesn't matter. So someone could be 58, they could be 62. But if they're at a good company and they're nailing it at that good company, then other people are going to want that person, even if it's only going to be for a few years.
And Bruce, you use that word energy a lot. I think I've picked it up and I'm using it more and more. I mean, you know, energy, you know, engaging, you know, the whole interaction, all that aspects around that energy, so important. You know, I'm listening and laughing. You got some points that are just dead solid. And here you are, the California guy. Here I am back in Minnesota, baseball cap, Carhartt sweatshirt. But again, you know, part of his adapting is, you know, like you say, there's the look, there's the engagement, just getting involved.
Getting involved. And I'd like to throw another thing out, and especially for who are on the hiring side. It also applies to candidates. Mm. It is so important to keep the communication going. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've had a hiring manager go quiet in the process. And I'm trying to get input back to the candidate, and the candidate begins to wonder, you know, if this is the way they are, maybe I don't want to work at that company. And it can work the other way. I've had candidates that don't respond as quickly as they should. And that not only creates a potential negative on the part of the employer's perception, but also in terms of mine. And working with that candidate in the future, right? Because what I find is that whether it's candidates, whether it's the employers, they tend to be very, very consistent in their actions. And they usually behave during this interview process as they're going to behave when they're working together.
That's the great points. So, Bruce, let's take the tips and go a different direction. You know, we've been talking music for a long, long time. And it's, again, this recurring theme. How about some tips on some tunes? I mean, I heard your, I don't know if people know, but you've got a great show, Go Deep, on Mohique.com. And I was listening to it last Sunday night. And I'll tell you what, when you pulled the, you got the Muse, you got Citizens on there. Great interview, by the way. I tell you what, when you pulled that new Rolling Stones track out, that was tremendous.
The Rolling Stones are back with a new song. It's called Doom and Gloom. And, you know, it's part of a greatest hits package that they're releasing. And it's a very basic Rolling Stones song. You know, there are no bells and whistles on it. It's just very, very straightforward, maybe even a lot more so than a lot of their songs. It just sounds great.
You're playing stuff that people aren't hearing yet. I mean, you turned me on to Django Django almost a year ago now, and here you got the up and coming Django Django's. You got the Metric. You've got the Rolling Stones. What diversity!
It is diversity. What I go for. And by the way, consider my arm twisted getting to talk about my radio show. Go Deep with Bruce Rave, and it is on Mohique Radio. Let me get the self-plug in there. It is 7 to 9 Pacific Sunday night. So let's call that 10 to midnight on the Eastern. And it replays, for people that are early risers, 5 to 7 Eastern Wednesday mornings. And for anybody in Europe, 10 to 12 GMT. And of course, it's available worldwide on Mohique.com, M-O-H-E-A-K. So, and we are also on iHeartRadio, Clear Channel's second most listened to. Well, they're under Pandora, they're the most listened to internet platform. Wow. We're very stoked to be on iHeartRadio. All that aside, I do play a lot of diversity. I basically appeal to the Coachella, Lollapalooza, Austin City Limits crowd. I go for very positive melodies, very hooky. What I'm looking for are artists that are either on the radar, and or they could be a big artist like Muse or Metric that have hits on the radio, but I will play deeper tracks. Or I'll play, well, people want to hear the Rolling Stones. They're not an indie band, really, but they fit the sound. And I think there's a curiosity factor. People want to hear a new Rolling Stones song. I'll even play Coldplay that are not indie at all, but I might play them once just so people know there's a new Coldplay song out and here's what it is. But I've been very fortunate, maybe right place at the right time. Maybe I've got good ears, but I've been able to get way out in front on a lot of bands that are doing very well right now. And my website, godeepmusic.net, contains interviews that I've had with a lot of bands that have blown up since we got together. I'm pretty picky about who I try to talk to. A couple of picks for new bands in 2013.
Yeah, who do you got in your lineup?
Yeah, and by the way, Citizens have a great song. It's so, who hasn't been in love with somebody else's significant other, right? They got a song called I'm in Love with Your Girlfriend, and the singer Tom Burke, you're right, Greg, he was an amazing interview. This Sunday night, I'm going to talk to a band called San Cisco. The singer is 19. They're from Australia, right outside Perth, and they had the number 7 song of last year on what's called the Hottest 100 in Australia.
Cool.
So I'm going to do that about 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific. But two bands that I'm really behind for next year. One is a party punk band called Fiddlar, F-I-D-L-A-R. Is profanity okay on the Greg Schultz podcast series?
Sure. I think we put the explicit flag on iTunes, so go for it.
As a matter of fact, it was, and I don't think there was one swear word there. Okay, Fiddlar stands for Fuck It Dog, Life's a Risk. And there's the first single from their debut album. They've had EPs, but the first single's called Cheap Beer.
Okay.
So you get the idea. They're a blast. And they've blown up in England. They've been called the next hype on the most influential show on BBC Radio 1. They're, people should keep an eye out for Fiddlar.
Okay.
And another called Goldfields, which are very different. Now, they're from outside Melbourne, Australia. Fiddlar, an L.A. band. And Goldfields, if anybody out there knows the band Friendly Fires, that have had some pretty good success, this group is a lot in that vein. They're very dancey, very melodic, incredibly energetic. Both bands are really strong live.
Very, very cool, Bruce. And you know what this comes back to is the fact that, you know, you're a fan of music. I'm a fan of music. I'm a fan of technology. You know, it's where these things kind of come together. And yeah, I get asked all the time, you know, what's the new up and coming technology, just like you get asked on the new bands. But that's great to hear. Your time away from SNW, you are off getting all this up and going.
Yes. I had a couple of offers to get involved in radio. And that was back at the time when maybe I was ready to take a little bit of a break mentally as well after 20-some years of having Raven Associates. So it came at a great time, and I really immersed myself in that and have pulled back from that to the extent that I'm back in the recruitment world, but still doing my show and still helping with management at the radio station.
Beautiful. Hey, Bruce, we got to wrap up here because I got to get packed. I'm heading off on a trip to Europe for the next couple of weeks. I know you've got some travel plans coming up.
Well, I'm actually, while you're going to Europe, I'm heading off. I'm taking a vacation down to Hawaii. I'm kind of a Scrooge when it comes to Halloween, so I'm going to be flying down there Halloween evening.
We've got to wrap up. Great catching up with you. Great helping out with these podcasts and great input. Look forward to having more conversations like these, getting updates. And again, check out Bruce's show. And again, what was that, the URL, Bruce?
The URL for the show would be moheak.com, M-O-H-E-A-K. And through the show, people can listen however they want, depending on their computer. They can listen in iTunes. There are lots of options there. It should be self-explanatory. Just hit listen live on the Moheak site.
And again, your site is?
My site for recruitment, which is the main reason we're here, is ravid.com, R-A-V-I-D. My email is bruce@ravid.com, which is really the best way for people to get in touch
Beautiful.
With me. The music site is godeepmusic.net.
And again, you know, as you mentioned, I've got storageio.com. I got storageioblog.com, the iTunes. And you're on Twitter, by the way, right?
At Bruce Rave.
Beautiful, at Bruce Rave. So on that note, let's wrap up. We're going to catch up again here soon, Bruce. And this is Greg Schultz from Storage.io saying thanks. Okay, enough said.